This is wonderful. It's like show and tell. I love it. Show and tell. Today, boys and girls, no. Little Flower, which is a horrible name for anybody, you know, which is a horrible name. Who wants to be like a little flower? I mean, the average man doesn't. However, her fame, 1 million people go to her monastery every year. 1 million people go to Lisieux every year. And remember, when she lived, she was very hidden. Very, very hidden. She became a nun at 15, as you know, and the fact that she became a nun at 15 is like a miracle. Picture yourself at 15. What were you doing at 15? I know what I was doing at 15. I don't want to brag about it either. Yeah. You know, you're kind of dumpy when you're 15. You think the world, you're the center of the world. You think you're very important, and you know more than your parents. I mean, but same with Teresa of the Andes. God raises up these very young people, not for themselves. Remember, God does not raise up the saints for themselves. He raises them up for us. Why do we love Therese? Because we can be like her. Why do we love Mother Teresa? Not because she's up on some pedestal, because we're supposed to do what she did. Except the poor in our lives will be the person we can't stand next to us, or whoever. You know, charity is a bumpy ride, you know, to be loving and charitable, especially to people who don't deserve it. Little Therese was one of these people that probably had no idea that she'd be that famous until the end of her life. Towards the end of her life, she knew that somehow, some way, that she said, guard these writings because they're going to help a lot of people. See, under obedience, she wrote her biography, autobiography. Marie the Trinity, her little novice who loved Therese a lot, wanted to write down her memoirs. And Therese was never officially novice mistress. She was secondary sacristan, secondary Victorian. She was always secondary. She never had any power. She never had a vote in chapter. She had nothing. So Marie the Trinity said to Therese, I want to write down my spiritual memories. And she said, well, Therese said, first of all, number one, you know them, you don't have to write them down. I would never write anything down unless it was obedience. And the next day they're standing by the one fireplace in the monastery. It was very cold and damp. In Lisieux in France, there was a stream under her monastery, so the humidity would rise up. That's why she got tuberculosis. Several died of tuberculosis. And the next night, the sisters, Therese had, there was four sisters in the same monastery, and her blood sister, Sister Agnes, happened to be superior, and Therese was a great storyteller. She could tell stories, and she had a great sense of humor. And Mother Agnes says, Therese, I want you to write down your memoirs. And Therese kind of laughed and said, you're kidding. Under obedience, I want you to write down your memoirs. So, I'm sure you've all read her autobiography. If not, you know, try to read it, because it's not about St. Therese. It's about the mercy, all the graces that God gave her. That's what that book is about. And it's the same with Faustina. Remember, that book on Faustina came about because of a humiliation, which are delicious. Bitter, horrible, but when you go through them, they're wonderful. The priest got really tired of hearing Faustina talk about the spiritual life, and she said, you know, sister, you're just a bit too much. He said, write it down. She was so joyful. So the saints under obedience did this, and that's what we're celebrating today. The obedience, is there something, oh, Jesus. Speaking about humiliation. Can I do a sacred dance now?
Yeah, that microphone's making weird noises.
That's me making weird noises. That's not the microphone. Let's see. Those are the three balanced poles in the spiritual life. Beautiful. I can hear myself. The fact that St. Therese is superior in the monastery was up one day and down the next, up one day. It doesn't mean that Mother Gonzague wasn't a holy woman. We all have our personality. We're all different. So you might look at somebody and say, well, they're not balanced. Mother Gonzague admitted Therese into the monastery. And when Faustina, the reason I'm comparing Faustina and Therese is, and Faustina, of course, had no education whatsoever. So she went to many monasteries, and they said, they took one look at her, no dowry, she didn't have any education, and they said no. So she kept knocking on the doors, just kept knocking on these doors. And her parents were very opposed, and she loved her parents. So we have these two young women, one destined to be Divine Mercy, and the other destined, Therese is also destined for Divine Mercy because she talks about the merciful love of God. So we can see the Holy Spirit working in these two mystics. And a mystic is not someone who sees the Blessed Mother. A mystic is not someone, a mystic is the interior life of Jesus in us. We're all mystics. The mystical life is the God, this holy spiritual life in our hearts. That's the mystical life. Read Arintero, A-R-I-N-T-E-R-O. You probably heard of Arintero has written two volumes. They sell it at TAN. Father Boniface and I both read it. It's like your Bible to the spiritual life. Arintero. Nobody has arrived. Even though I know what I'm talking about, do I live it? Oh, I don't know. I talk about humiliation, but I'm not happy to get humiliated. I talk about charity, but sometimes, you know, we're all, the spiritual life, number one, is a battle. Any of you people know Joyce Myers? Hear Joyce Myers?
Yeah.
She is good. Joyce is like one of these, she reminds me a lot of Teresa of Avila, like, she does her scripture, and she's calling you to be responsible, to guard your hearts. The spiritual life is a battle. And we have to be careful that we know that the devil does not like us, number one, to be happy. You take Faustina, you take Therese, you take Teresa Benedicta. These were happy souls. When you wake up in the morning and you're happy, that ticks off the devil. It really does. Because the devil wants you to think about your sinfulness, your unworthiness, your past sins. The devil wants you to be upset when the priest walks out on the altar and you're thinking, oh no, Lord, this is my one time to go to Mass on Saturday, and there he is. And the devil wants you to fret about that particular radical priest who's following whatever they do. You know, you don't know what they do. And if you're living in God's will, and if you just say, Lord, you're here. That's all that counts. You're here. So did Therese and Faustina, how did they manifest obedience? The night before Therese took her solemn vows, the devil approached her and said, you don't have a vocation. People kind of think of Therese as on top of everything. No saint is on top of everything. They don't know any more than we know. They live by faith. And she knocks on Mother Gonzague's door and said, you know, I don't think I have a vocation. And Mother Gonzague gave her powerful spiritual direction. I don't want to see your face, go to bed and shut up. Spiritual direction. That's spiritual direction. I think it's wonderful. You know, because Mother Gonzague knew, of course, Therese had a vocation, and that the devil really wants to get at us. And see, he doesn't, when you're doing God's will, the devil doesn't know where you are. Like the devil wants you in church all day before the Blessed Sacrament when you'd be working, or say your husband's sick with the flu, or, you know, he wants us to do things exaggerated. That's what the devil does. But God's will is, where is it found? In our duties. Ask Padre Pio. Padre Pio. In our duties. And this is the beauty. I mean, it's so simple. We all miss it. You know, a little example of how stupid I can be. I work in a hospital, and they said, you have a parking place in the garage. Well, the human will is so stupid. I want to park in front of the hospital. I felt like that, you know, stupid as it is. I kept getting a ticket, and they said, Father, you should park in the garage. Finally, I said, is there a reason why? I will not go to that parking place in the garage like everybody else. I park in the garage, it's perfect. We avoid the obvious. You know, it was really ridiculous. So, you know, and we all do this at times, you know. And this is where I think when you read, as Pope Benedict says, look at life, look at Bernadette. Look at the little saints. Look at Mother Teresa, who, you know, all that adulation, all that love. I remember I said Mass for her in Rome, and I was in the getting my vestments off, and she came up, and I saw the people kissing her hand and kissing her habit, and she says, "Father, I'm doing my penance." And she was one of these people that. She could be in the limelight because she was very solid with obedience. She was very solid in charity. And she was very... They showed Mother Teresa, remember, a book that was written about her, how horrible she was. And she said, we have to take the good with the bad. So the example of doing God's will... See, when you're doing God's will, it helps us to... see clearly where we are. When Therese was in Rome trying to get into the monastery, Pope Benedict the 15th, I think, said to her, no, Leo the 13th, excuse me, Pope Leo the 13th said, you will enter if it's God's will. But that didn't appeal to Therese because she definitely wanted to enter. So she takes an image that I think may help us. She takes the image of a little child. She loved the child Jesus. And when the child Jesus takes a toy and throws it in the corner, he's done with the toy. Well, that's, she says, I'm like that little toy. I'm like a little plaything in the child. And he's done with me, and I'm sitting in the corner, neglected and alone. That's where you find yourself sometimes. You know, it's just like when you have a deep spiritual life, you people are very serious about your spiritual life, and you try to share that with somebody who's worldly. Worldly people don't get it. You can't take what's in your heart and say, oh, it's beautiful. And they'll go, huh? What? Huh? What? Because, I mean, when we're worldly, and all of us at one time were worldly, worldly people don't know they're worldly. They're not walking, excuse me, I'm rather worldly. They're thinking, this. They don't know that. They don't know they're worldly. They really don't. They think everything's ginger, peachy, sweet. I lived in Paris for 10 years, very worldly. Thinking, I remember on the way to Paris, I had to change my pants because I wanted to look good on the plane. I mean, really, really, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely, and I think of all the things, you know, that you do when you're worldly. And only what happened might help you. What happened to me, I made a retreat at the Carthusian Monastery in France, you know, integrate silence. And the Carthusian novice master said to me, You need to go in a cell right away because you're pretty worldly. I mean, he took one look at me. But he said, if you do your hour of prayer a day, this is what I got from the Carthusians, if you do your hour of prayer a day, things will be okay. That's exactly what Mother Teresa told Henry Nouwen, remember? Henry Nouwen went to Mother Teresa. I'm skipping around because all these things come together. Henry Nouwen had all these questions from Mother Teresa. And Henry Nouwen was a very complicated man, a very holy man, very gifted. And Mother Teresa took one look at him and just sized him up and said, when you do an hour a day before the Eucharist, you'll be fine. And Henry Nouwen, even though he was complicated, he was little. Like he said, that's the answer. That's the answer. It's wonderful. You know, now, it's true. I mean, why do we need that hour of prayer? That's where God gives you the wisdom. That's where God gives you your peace. That's where God gives you the healing that comes to you. The healing. So, I mean, I can't urge you enough to do that hour a day. Now, if you're real busy and you can only do 20 minutes, then that 20 minutes, the Lord will make up for the rest. You know, you can't always do your hour because your obligations, or if you're sick, you know, whatever. But when you can, you know, Therese did 2 hours of mental prayer a day in choir. And she did not feel God's presence during that time. And you might say, you know, we get the idea that, you know, these saints are before the Lord and they're like, they're into it. You're centered. Not the way it was. She had a very hard time with prayer. She had a very hard time with the rosary trays, you know. And she said, I felt the effects of prayer during the day, but not during the moment. Not during the moment. So, and you notice yourself, if you do your hour every day, when you don't do it, and you could do it, but you don't, you're different, you're very different. It doesn't seem to work out. The day doesn't fit when you don't do your hour. Faustina had the special privilege. See, the reason I'm comparing these, because Faustina did not particularly have a happy life. Because, you know, when the Blessed Mother does something in your life, other people are jealous. They think you're cuckoo. And Faustina would be very honest and very loving. Therese, Faustina, they did have that deep charity and peace. But Faustina, you know, didn't understand what the Lord wanted her to do with the painting and everything. Only in time did Father Soposco begin to really realize, like, here we have a really holy person, somebody who is seeking the Lord. And, you know, when you think, Faustina will probably be a doctor of the church because of her writing, you know, that her journal, her diary. The Lord takes her up into the Last Supper. The Lord takes her up. She walked through heaven, and the saints are saying, it's interesting when she went to heaven. Who are you? What order are you in? All the saints are so cured. Where are you from? You know. So this morning, They're very high examples we're using, but they had those three. They were always obedient. They were always obedient. And obedience is it's hard to be pure of heart in today's world. It's very hard to be pure of heart because our TV, we're surrounded by sensuality. Wherever you go, you know, we're surrounded by it. And also our fallen nature, you know, part of our disposition is our through original sin, our mind is weak, our will is weakened, our mind is darkened. So we're fighting that. And, you know, this is the fight that we all have. And the best way to beat that devil in us, the lust, they call it lust, whatever you want to call it, is not take it too seriously. The devil wants it to be, oh, these terrible temptations of the flesh. Oh, been there, done that, don't need it. Been there, done that, do not need it. You don't need it. Satan, drink your own poison. Satan, drink your own poison. And now I'm not saying it's not very uncomfortable, but people confess the temptations against lust and everything. Did you enjoy? No, I hated. Good example. Catherine of Siena is in her cell. Catherine is in her cell, and I lived in Italy, and in the summertime, everybody's paired up. Like, I felt I was the only man in Italy that didn't have a lover. They're all paired up. Wherever you look, they're together. And you think, what's wrong with me when they're all together? Well, that's exactly what happened to Catherine. She was in her cell, and she got these horrible temptations. I mean, really serious temptations. And she was so discouraged. She said, Lord, where were you when I was tempted? And Jesus, of course, Jesus, you know, the peaceful one, I was in your heart. You were in my heart when I had those temptations? She said, yes. Did you want those temptations? No. I never left you. I never left you. So once we get that straight, that the battlefield, the spiritual life is a battle, and sometimes when you're going to communion or when you're the most sacred moments, these images come to you. Don't need it, been there, done that, drink your own poison. You have to take Satan by, you know, lightly. These are not heavy duty. They seem heavy duty. They're not. We don't need it, I don't want. And if you can just name, if you can tell your young people, especially your people you meet, some of you are very young, lust is poison. It's poison. If I'm married and have a lovely wife and I see somebody cuter or more attractive, lust is always poison. And you say, I don't drink your own poison. You're your Benedictine medal. Therese used to put Benedictine medals in the coats of the people that worked in the monastery. She'd sew them in the hem of their coats. So, she said she had a lot of temptations she couldn't talk about. Why do we have to have these temptations? We never know what they were, but she was a normal person. One of the sisters, one of her cousins wrote from Rome, and she said, you know, I really, Therese, you probably won't understand this, but in Rome there's so many nude statues. She said, I'm so tempted. Everywhere you look, there's nudity. You wouldn't understand. And St. Therese writes back and she says, I understand everything, everything, everything. Don't be ridiculous. Go to communion and forget it. Don't take him seriously. That's what she said. Do not take him too seriously. See, the devil will do anything to get us upset, to get us discouraged, or our human will. When our human will kicks in, how do you know your human will kicks in? You know. Are you in God's will or your human will? You can always tell, because you're either in a rage. You know, somebody comes up to you, say Joan in the first row, and says to you, I thought you were pretty. I never liked you from the moment I met you. Ta 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 ta. They're in their human will, and your human will starts to go, oh, yeah? That's what that's your human. Oh, well, I not only feel the same way. And so when somebody's really yelling at you or getting very upset, try the silence treatment. Just say, Lord, please. Please. One of the monks wrote me a terrible letter about something, and I boiled. Then he wrote him a real nice letter back. Everything was fine. So, you know, the human, to be in God's will is a special peace. Like they said about Therese, she was a very, very peaceful person. Peaceful. And she always wanted to know what people thought of her. I do not. What are they saying about me? I don't ask. I asked once and I got an answer. I didn't like it. So, oh no. You know, it's so interesting. Tell me what they're thinking about me. And then as she was dying, which is a very interesting thing for me, for all of us when you think of it, I'm so happy to be imperfect on my deathbed. I'm so happy to be imperfect on my deathbed. That has to be explained only in the sense that there's imperfections that keep us very humble, but they don't offend God. Father Pro was visiting Lisieux Carmel, giving a retreat. Nobody liked this priest, but he worked with prisoners and heavy-duty sinners. No one liked this priest except Therese, because he told her, there's many imperfections in your heart that you have that do not offend God. But we look stupid in other people's eyes, you know. But that's okay. You know, we don't need approval. With charity, in regard to charity, there was a sister that Therese couldn't stand, Sister Therese of St. Augustine. And Therese didn't like the way she walked. She didn't like her spirituality. She didn't like the way she looked. Now, is that a sin? It's not a sin. It's just that there's certain antipathies. The other person, but she knew that she had to change her heart. And she would sit by her at recreation and say, what do you see in me, Therese? Therese did not say, I see in you, Christ, and even though I don't like you, I'm going to try to like you because Jesus told me to. Bad news. She didn't say anything. She said, well, I'm with you. And so her sisters got very jealous of the fact that Therese was sitting next to Therese of St. Augustine. What do you see in her? We're your blood. The blood sisters got very upset because they only have recreation twice a day. And when Therese was dying, Sister Therese of St. Augustine said to St. Therese, what was your life? Did you ever suffer? And women can do this. I don't think men can. I may be wrong. But women can suffer without showing too much. When I'm suffering, I show it. I need consolation. You only knew. I tell everybody. Women can go about and have a very difficult day without saying too much. And Therese suffered. And Therese said to Sister Therese of St. Augustine, you see that little vial next to my bed, that beautiful red medicine I'm taking? And Sister Therese of St. Augustine said, yes, I do. Well, it looks beautiful, but it tastes terrible. My life has been very difficult, been very bitter. It's been very bitter. Her father, see, the saints have great love for their families. Her father was in a mental institution, and the nuns used to joke about that. And her sisters were all ahead of her in Carmel, in the sense that when they voted on the superior, Therese had to wait outside the door with a novice. She was a novice her whole life. And those of you who've been in religious life know that being a novice your whole life is certainly not easy. But the beauty is that God hid his work in Therese. Only towards the end of her life, they begin to realize we have a real treasure here. When Therese gave her autobiography to Mother Agnes, it was in 1895, she was commissioned, write down your memoirs. And in 1896, she handed the book to Mother Gonzaga. Mother Agnes. And Mother Agnes never thought a thing about it, never read it. And for months and months, Therese never said, what do you think about my book? You know, when you write something, it's interesting. She forgot about it. She didn't think of it. Therese couldn't even imagine that was going to be like translated into 50 languages and be the most important, one of the most important spiritual literatures ever written. Couldn't imagine. And then when she was, then Mother Agnes was no longer mother. Mother Gonzaga was reelected. 7 votes around. Mother Agnes was like furious, called all the nuns traitors. Religious life is so wonderful. Wonderful. And Mother Agnes knocked on Mother Gonzaga's door and said, you know, Therese, I was writing her necrology. You know, she's not going to be around much longer, and I wanted her to write something down. But she didn't write about the spirit, the religious life. Would you mind? This was at midnight, because they had matins at 11, 10:30, and probably they weren't in bed yet. So Mother Gonzaga said, she can write it, but make sure she dedicates it to me. And there was tension between Therese's sisters and Mother Gonzaga. That tension exists. It can exist in families. You know, tension. You could probably all write a book on tensions in families. You know, that's part of the picture. So we have this wonderful book. And Therese said, now what do you want me to write on? Write on charity. Write on charity. See that? The charity, the God's will, and the obedience. Charity checks us. I was talking to a lady last night about, she has a very hard time forgiving. Her son-in-law left her daughter. And, you know, she's very hurt. And it's very, very hard to forgive people who, like, mess up your children's lives. It's very hard. But on the other hand, you know, we have to, in forgiving, see, psychologists say we're supposed to forgive so we feel better. That's ridiculous. We forgive because Jesus asks us to forgive. We work through that forgiveness. Getting back to the basics of living in God's divine will is the Trinity loves it when you live in God's will. Therese said, you know, if I do anything outside of God's will, it's useless. It's useless. And that's what we're really celebrating today. And anything out of disobedience is kind of useless, you know. And when you have your spiritual director, or, you know, your obedience could be to your flu. You have the flu, say, and you're in bed sick, and then you say fiat, I can't go to Mass. You don't have to go to Mass when you're sick with the flu. You can't go to communion. Remember when Therese was sick, she couldn't go to communion. All the nuns were upset, saying, you know, she doesn't seem to be very upset, she's not going to communion. And Therese looked at them square in the eye and said, everything is a grace. If I can go to communion, if I can't go to communion, it's a special, everything is a grace. So, you know, if we can live within those parameters, I still think of all the virtues I said, the hardest virtue is that of obedience, because sometimes, you know, obedience to the divine will. Supposing you're waiting for a girlfriend. You're waiting for lunch. And she's noted to be late, you know, because she's real, you know, she's kind of out there somewhere. We're supposed to have lunch, I should have called her. And you're thinking, somebody in God's will, let's take somebody who's outside of God's will. She did it again. I mean, really, this is ridiculous. I mean, I could be home, I could be praying, I could be going to Mass, I skip Mass. Really, this type of person is just ridiculous, you know. When you think of it, when I'm thinking of this person, fret. And in God's will, you're saying, I wonder what really happened. I wonder what happened. She pulls up, I had a flat tire. You would not believe what happened to me. And I did, my cell phone I left at home. And you're calling her, outside of God's will, you're calling her on the cell phone. And no answer. Typical. That's who she is. I mean, really. So, I mean, it happened to me the other day. I was calling somebody. I panicked. I forget I had a class to teach. And I called up my friend. Her phone wasn't on. And I was like, you know, we all go outside of God's will. And it's you. Then how do you get back into it? You gently come back into it and say, okay, I'm going to regain my peace. And did Therese go out of God's will? Of course. She was before the grill one day, and her cousin was there. And her cousin said to Therese, I think Celine is a nicer person than you. Well, I mean, you know, Therese was a real person. She shut the door right in her face. Now, the priest that wrote that didn't say that she opened the grill afterward, too. She opened the curtain. But, you know, and Therese said, you know, I'm so full of imperfection. I don't understand myself, the way we act sometimes, you know. So, of all the saints that we're so blessed with Faustina, we're so blessed with Therese. Teresa Benedicta is a great intellectual soul. I mean, brilliant, magnificent, who did not want to be a martyr. She did not seek it. It sought her. So she's a good example of somebody who sees God's will in very difficult circumstances. Here she is. She tried. She fled to another monastery. After she became Catholic, she was always praying for her Jewish friends and leaving her mother. You know, speaking of giving up your will, leaving your mother, who's a very devout Jew, and your family. She's just heroic. And leaving her career and, you know, and going through God's will, which is a radical form of God's will, leaving everything and being martyred. You know, we have these examples that sometimes that example should encourage us when things go a bit wrong. You know, if things go wrong, you have to, what I try to do, I don't always do it, fiat, Lord. You know, if we're misunderstood and we can't explain ourselves. And that's the, you know, Teresa's spiritual director thought she was really a sweet little soul, sweet little thing. You know, no problems, missed the point completely, missed it. So people may miss you completely or miss me completely. But, you know, if we can in our spiritual life really let go of our self-will, which is always a struggle. And like, we can't be surprised if we have certain habits that we can't break immediately. There I go. This shouldn't discourage you. Lord, if we commit a sin, should we be really upset? Oh, I did that. I can't believe it. That's because we're so proud. And so the Lord lets us fall into sin to teach us humility. So we go peacefully to confession. Okay, I'm sorry I was uncharitable. But it felt a little good, Lord, if you know what I mean. I told her what I really thought. So, you know, if somebody, well, having a spiritual director, like, you don't need a lot of spiritual direction if you're praying, but there are certain times when you really need spiritual direction, and your spiritual director, that if you really trust them and they're good for you, then they'll help us on our way. And they may not always tell us what we want to hear, you know. But sometimes the Lord will tell us what we want to hear through other people. And it helps us. It really helps us. You have your patron of Mother Teresa, of course, a little flower. And why Mother Teresa loved the little flower? I know Mother Teresa came to the Passionist Nuns in Pittsburgh. And she loved, they have a beautiful crucifix on the wall with with the most beautiful wounds. Mother said, do you have another one of those? And sister said, we do up in the attic. I want it. So they gave her another crucifix. When Mother Teresa came to Detroit, a good friend of mine was in the hospital, Sister Joanne Trez, who's gone to the Lord. And before Joanne Trez died, she said to me, well, don't leave me sizzling in purgatory till the end of the world. Pray for me. She was a Carmelite nun for about 50 years. And she was in the hospital, and Mother Teresa was in Detroit Carmel, and the sister said, would you mind calling Sister Joanne Trez? She's at the hospital, which is across the city. Mother said, no, I won't call. I'll go visit her. So word got out that Mother Teresa was coming. There were banners out the hospital. The whole hospital was in a state of joy and glee. And Mother Teresa pulled up in her little, and I have a picture of Mother Teresa with Joanne Trez. And so we have these saints that there are teachers. There are teachers that give us the joy, like Mother Teresa, and this is, you know this better than I do, because you know, you probably know much more about Mother Teresa than I do, but Jesus in my heart, I believe in your tender love for me. Say it and mean it. And the smile, Mother Teresa got that from St. Therese, because St. Therese had a little blessed mother in her room, Our Lady of the Smile, it was her father's. And that smile, that's your spiritual life. That's your spiritual life. Because if we want to be spiritual, the people that aren't are going to wonder, why are you so glum? I know some people, they're always before the Eucharist, but they're miserable. How does that happen? Oh, I'm pure as gold. God, help us from that purity. If it makes you miserable, get a husband. You know, would never be married. I could never. Please, spare me. So, see, the more normal we are, the more spiritual we are. See, because we have a reputation with people who aren't spiritual as being weird. Like, Catholics love suffering. You know, they love suffering. Well, nobody, at St. Therese, Mother, nobody loves suffering. It's not that we love suffering. We love the cross. And we love the cross. And when suffering comes our way, it purifies us. And it helps us to grow. But we have to kind of beat down some of these reputations as a spiritual people. But being little and doing God's will, being little is hard, because somehow in our heart of hearts, when we're big, we mess up things. We don't do things right. When we're little, we kind of get out of the way and we let the Holy Spirit work through us. And we say things to people when we're little that are very important. And we know when to be quiet and when to talk. Because sometimes, you know, words, you know, we like to, if we're going through a problem, my tendency is, if I'm having a bad relationship with somebody, I've got to tell somebody. I've got to tell them. And I tell them again. Well, you don't understand. This person, I could just shut up and bear the thing and shut up about it. But I'm the type that have to, and this person is saying, girl, I've heard, okay, well, I know, maybe you're too attached. I know, dear God. So some people can do it. But, you know, and if we pretend to talk too much, then we can ask ourselves, I can just be more peaceful with it. And what happens is the relationships come into being more peacefully. More peacefully, because we're made for relationships. You know, Mother Teresa was not liked by all her nuns. Some nuns gave her a really hard time. She didn't talk much about it, but some were just rotten to her. But you know, hallelujah, that's what happens. You know, just because somebody doesn't like us, you know, there was a monk in the monastery who passed away. I can tell you a quick story. Monk, 40 years he didn't like me. Thank God Father Boniface likes me. However, this monk, I mean, when I'd see him, I said, we'd be walking down the hallway, you know, both have a good morning, Father. Ah, good morning, Jack. Ooh, gosh. Ah. He wanted to throw up. And I thought, I know I don't look that great, but I don't look that bad either, you know. So it went on for 40 years. And one day, it was day in May, a ladies' month. He was in the monastic refect. He was in the sick floor having breakfast, and I came in, and I lost it. I can't even tell you the words I used. They were so poetic. I just let him have it. There it is. Okay. So what happened was, then I realized that I said bad things to him, and I went up to see the prior, and the prior said, "You got to do what you got to do." Then I had to get back on his good side because I was so bad to him. So I blessed his room, and I thought, well, that's a cop out. Go in and see. I walked in and I said, "Father, you like got something to drink? Give me a Coke, or give me an orange, or whatever." And so about 4 or 5 days, and in the refectory, there were about 10 different monks in there, and this priest said, "I have an announcement to make." The people went, "Uh-oh. Jock and I are friends." Well, we became best friends. I kissed him on his bald head, and I had to kiss him every day, right here, baby, on my bald. We became best friends. Now, so sometimes blowing up at people is a special blessing. How did that happen? Special blessing. You know, so sometimes your son-in-law may need a blah, 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 tell him off. And would they become different? So you have to know, like, how to. You can't always say, "Be charitable." Doesn't mean that you're kind of a wimp. Well, tell the person he's a stupid jerk. If he's a stupid jerk, tell him. You know, "You're ridiculous, and you know I'd like to say you're okay, but you're ridiculous." And you know, the person might think, "I am ridiculous." So let the Holy Spirit work in us to the point that, you know, through our imperfections. See, our imperfections, I think God loves us sometimes when we're very imperfect. Because remember, Moses was a murderer. Moses was leading God's people. All the people, you know, if you look all the who God chooses, murderers, people who, Mary Magdalene is one of my favorites. And St. Therese loved Mary Magdalene. And St. Therese, you know, she was somebody to be reckoned with. She slept with her lay clothes under her bed, because they were closing monasteries all over France. So she never knew one day to the next if she was going to be a nun or a woman out in the streets in lay clothes trying to find a place to live. And so they said, she heard about this young girl from Paris who had been a nun, Marie the Trinity, and she said, "You know, I think I'd go to live with that young girl, and we would both go to a house of prostitution, former prostitutes." I gotta say, it helps if I say former. The active life isn't exactly what she was interested in. Former prostitutes, I would go to that house, and I would preach about Jesus. And they said, "Well, how would you tell them you didn't do all those things? She said, "I wouldn't tell them anything. I'd tell them I made a general confession and I couldn't repeat it." So Therese, like, is a victorious soul. You know, she wanted to be a missionary, she wanted to be a priest, she wanted to be a doctor of the church, which she is. She wanted to preach the gospel at all the ends of the world, which she is by her books. And so we have in this little, she lived by faith. And she was saying the Station of the Cross one day, and you know, she felt this heat, this like dagger come into her heart. Jesus wanted to do all kind of things for Saint Therese, but Therese wanted. She was a daughter of John of the Cross. She did not want extraordinary graces, but you know, the Lord is. I'm sure the Lord said, "Now look, I mean, I'm going to do this. Let's get this over with." This dagger, and she felt this burning sensation in her heart. And then she had that dream. Remember that St. Therese had a great dream. In the middle of her, Mother Teresa had all those years of dryness, I mean, dark night. Therese had 18 months of darkness. Mother had 50 years. You know, mother is like the super little soul. And one night, Therese, when she had this dream, she saw this St. Anne coming up to her. St. Anne of St. Bartholomew was a young woman who founded the Carmels in France. And she comes up to Therese, and Therese knows she's in heaven. Her veil lifted up automatically, and she sees this beautiful woman who smothers her with love, smothers her with kisses, embraces her. She says, "I felt so loved. It was like I didn't know why she loved me so much." But remember, this is the time that Therese had her purification, her dark night, when she had a hard time. Therese always believed in God, but she did not believe in heaven, because God took away her She said, God permitted that I feel this way, that there's no heaven. God permitted this. So we have, she said, the saints choose us. We don't choose the saints. The saints choose us. So we have these wonderful examples of, it's interesting, like when you read the life of a saint, go for the real and chronological order. Because what Trez said when she was 12 and what she said on her deathbed are two different things. You know, she has a cute thing when she was 12, when she was, nine or eight. Jesus, you're my only love. You're my only hope. Celine owes me 12 francs. Right? The same line. Celine owes me 12 francs. On her deathbed, St. Therese said, je n'ai jamais cherché que la vérité. I've only looked to live in the truth of the gospel. The gospel. And you know, she never had the whole Bible with her. She only had Celine brought different parts of the Bible. We have 47 pictures of Therese. We have 266 letters. We have her plays that are translated now. All her plays are translated. And she said, if you want to learn about what I think about heaven, read my plays on Joan of Arc. She wrote two plays on Joan of Arc. Joan of Arc, they're 5 centuries apart, but they were canonized 5 years apart. And she loves her and Joan of Arc. And she loves Joan of Arc. And she did this play. She got the costume. And she. What's interesting about Therese? Therese wrote a play about dying of love of Jesus, dying of love. When she put the play on, she was dying of love. She literally, the sister, oh, that's so sweet, little Therese, dying for love. She was literally dying. I mean, she was dying, but they didn't know it. You know, in those days, there's a wonderful book out you might want to read. It's called The Passion of St. Therese. It's The Passion of St. Therese is how she accepted all her sufferings. And, you know, that period in history, the morphine was just beginning. So the morphine, they'd give her like a little teaspoonful and things like that. And Mother Gonzaga was very much in favor of Carmelite suffering in the sense that they didn't want to take away all the suffering, but it did help Therese a little, you know. And it's interesting. They're all praying for Therese to be healed, and Therese is praying for whatever God wants, you know. And I don't know if we're allowed any questions. Do we do questions? Yes. Do we do questions? Any questions? Yes?
What is the name of the book you said at the beginning?
Oh, Arintero. Arintero. It's a 2-volume book put out by Ten. It's the mystical life. The Jesuits, and Father Arintero was a Dominican, and he was a brilliant scholar, and he was in chemistry, but he wrote this book saying the mystical life is for everyone, it's not just for a special people. The mystical life, I think you'll really like it, it's a very powerful book, 2-volume book, Arintero, Arintero. Translated from the Spanish, if you read Spanish, you can get it in the original language. Pardon? Arintero. I think that's it. But anyway, it's pretty close to what it is. It's like a little gold mine, because you look up on different things you might be going, passive purification, active purification, and things like that. Any other questions on Therese or Faustina? I work with this parish priest. I'm going there this afternoon. His mother, Father Shaposko was her spiritual director. His mother's still alive. She's quite elderly. But Father Shaposko is now a blessed. No, I think he's a saint now, by the way. He's either blessed or he's a saint. That was Faustina's spiritual director. We made a movie in Poland, and I remember we got to talk to all the sisters, and one of the sisters said to me, you know, well, I never really thought Faustina, this is like, it's so community life. Well, I never really thought Faustina was that interesting, and we're filming her. And actually, I didn't like her diary. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, here's what I'm thinking, my human will, why are we filming this nun? Why? Well, actually, it took me a long time to get into it, you know. But that's community life. You can be living next to the most wonderful person. One of the nuns said about Therese, what'd she ever do? What are they going to say about her? She couldn't sew, she couldn't clean. Kind of dippy. You know, I mean, that's same with Teresa Benedicta. I didn't think, this is the classic. I didn't think she was that special, one of the Carmelites. I think she was, you're like a slapper. Human will, not divine will. Human will, human will. Yes?
When Father Sebastian, our founder, used to say to us to pray, let us love until we die of love, was that St. Therese quoting St. John of the Cross?
Yes, yes, exactly, yes.
So it's the
But remember, to die of love doesn't mean like, it means to be on the cross in agony with Jesus.
Right.
It's not a pretty death. Because
right.
I'm a hospital chaplain, I've seen a lot of people die. And not easy,
you know. In the context of St. John of the Cross, going back to steps.
Yes.
In what context from St. John of the Cross was this sentence?
You know, I'm not a John of the Cross. I'm not good at John of the Cross. I know all as I know is he's. Well, from Therese's point of view, well, you know, there's a book out, and you can get that book, St. Therese and St. John of the Cross. You have that? Okay, I don't remember exactly the connection there, but I know that.
That's what you're saying. What I'm coming into the flow of is listening to you as you're describing it. And you're saying as you're responding, it's way deeper than, in the same way that you know, St. Therese's little flower sounds so, it's profoundly deep.
I just hit the surface today on some of these saints because they're so, I mean, St. Therese is, like when you read Therese, I've been reading her for years and years, you read her, you get layers of learning. There's a little saint I didn't mention about this camp, her name is, my mother had great devotion to Luisa Picaretta. And of course, Luisa Picaretta was not a saint then. Now she's up for she's going to be either beatified. Things are going good for her. But she carried this with her. And of course, she'd always go like this when people would say, Luisa Picaretta. Picaretta is Piccaretta. There's only one Luisa Picaretta. And it's interesting because she's a quick read, 36 volumes. 36 volumes. She's another little soul that was in bed for 60 years, and our Lord dictated these works to her. But they're all, you know, whether you, Teresa Benedicta, whether it's Faustina, Catherine of Siena, whatever, they all have that unique, but they all converge on obedience, God's will. Remember when Catherine of Siena was in herself for 3 years, and the Lord said, "You have to come out and help people." She was like astounded. I'm in my cell with. I'm contemplative. I love it. You come out and you help all these people, and the Lord said, "I will be with you." Remember, one guy had her up against the wall, and she said, "Make my day." Catherine is magnificent. We did a whole series on her in Italy. Yes.
Can you give us a few words on like living obedience, being like people in the world?
Obedience?
Yeah, like when you're obedient, it's like there's a little obvious of your obedience.
Well, it's like the obedience. It's the same for everyone, whether in the monastery or outside the monastery. Obedience isn't just when your spiritual director says, don't do that. Obedience is like the weather. You might have a picnic and it's pouring rain and you really, and you say, Fiat, there's your obedience. Or somebody who calls you on the phone and they drive you a little bit wild. And the last thing you need at this moment is to have this person call you to talk about their colostomy at that moment, or their health, or their diarrhea, whatever. And you know, there's your obedience to take time and listen with love. Don't overdo. I mean, it doesn't mean you got to talk forever. But the obedience is always coming in. The weather, your health, you feel like doing something, but you don't feel good, and you have to just take it easy. That obedience is, God's will is, you're always obeying God's will. See? And you're happy, you're really happy that way. You're not thinking about the future. One thing when you, if you're living more in God's will, you're living more in the present moment. You're not too worried about the future. Not too worried about the future. Even your health, yes?
On that note, I want to get into this chastisement, or this is going to happen, or that's going to happen. Does that mean disobedient when people get too worked up about that?
No, well, yeah, if you get worked up, it's ridiculous, because even the Lord says, nobody knows except, we know that we're in the chastisement. We know that now, that we are in that, in the sense of with all the weather and everything. But, God's doing His thing. We do our thing. It's just that I think if we run after too many Marian apparitions, we miss the present. Like, if the Lord calls us to be interested, like in Akita, Our Lady of Lourdes, all they're beautiful apparitions. But it's we're all different, and some people, I hate to poo-poo them and just say, a lot of people say, I have the Bible. It's like they become Protestant. Like, it isn't, I know some priests that don't like Faustina because, we have our Bible, we have the sacraments. But they don't realize that Jesus can do things out of bounds. Jesus doesn't have any bounds. He can dictate 36 volumes to Louisa. And she's popular among the little people, the intellectuals, she's not popular. Because they can't figure out why in heaven's name Jesus would do that with that little twerp. She went to the third grade, and she has huge, looks like a grandmother in a bad day, bad hair day. Oh, yeah. I've been in her room. And the nun said, only bishops can go in there. And I had my little ring out, and I just went like this. Bishop, and I said, I got to go in the room. What are you going to do? But I think it's 12 o'clock. Yes. One last question.
If I may.
You may. Take three giant steps.
I want to say I had a very humble experience this morning. I went to communion, and I can say that the real presence of God is in the house. My stomach was jittering. My whole body was dancing around like, I don't know. I didn't know what was happening. But all along I was saying to God, I got a big mouth. I got a big mouth. Why did I say that $140 to all these people? And but this ticket. Well, a humbling experience. When I came in, I got lost in the this whole place over here. I went to the Basilica. I got lost, and one of the monks brought me in here. And as I entered the chapel, Father Boniface gave me an envelope. For your ticket, $140. I didn't open the envelope, and I wanted to give it back to you, but I don't know who I give it back to. So I want to say thank you from my heart and from Jesus. Thank you.
God bless you. Well, that's very beautiful. God is working really powerful, powerful. When you least expect it. God bless you all. Do we end with a glory be? Father Boniface, should we do anything else? Pardon? Oh. Isn't that, I'm really smart, aren't I? You might, Father, give us a blessing. May the Lord watch over you, bless you. May our Holy Mother Teresa be in your heart in a very special way, guide you, keep you healthy spiritually, mentally, and physically. And may you in a very special way this day, in Mother Teresa, cover you in her mantle of joy, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you all. God bless you. Listen, one last thing. I have some things on the Passionist Nuns in Carrick, Pittsburgh. Anybody want one of these? They need vocation. They're a lovely community. Anybody wants one of these? I have one. I was there yesterday, and there's a girl. I think they're going to a girl named Gabriel. I have this passion coming in. I mean, she's not existent yet, but I think they're going to a girl named Gabriella. So if you want to take them to your parishes or things like that and spread the word, they're a lovely community.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.